Welcome to the Global Venture in Review podcast. My name's James Morrison, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Government Venturing. And it gives me great pleasure to welcome you this week and provide a review for the past week. And it's been a busy old week for Thierry Hellis, who's been a sort of editor of all three titles, so in effect news editor covering them all, given that Rob Levine's been on holiday. And we'll start with funds, as it's been quite an active week on sort of new corporate venturing funds. And one of the more interesting ones, which isn't a new fund, but it's an interesting deal, is Foxconn, the contract manufacturer based in Taiwan that's already backed the $100 billion SoftBank Vision Fund and does direct investments itself, has now also dropped $600 million on a majority stake in a telecoms group SoftBank's Asia-based tech-focused investment arm, SoftBank Asia Capital. The deal essentially turns SoftBank Asia Capital into a joint venture, with Foxconn owning 54.5% and taking the lead on investment decisions, and SoftBank retaining the remaining share. So fascinating to see the changes and dynamics happening over at SoftBank. Currently, we'll come to some of the SoftBank deals that have been announced over the past week shortly. Other funds, we've seen Balois has committed $50 million to an investment vehicle operated by Anthemis to identify opportunities in insurance technology startups based in Europe and the US. Semantic, which previously backed Apthority via its subsidiary Blue Coat Systems, has decided to join the corporate venture world and launch Semantic Ventures. Unit will focus on the cybersecurity sector, and startups will gain access to Semantic's next-generation technology assets, expertise in artificial intelligence, go-to-market resources, and threat intelligence network. No word yet on how much capital Semantic has allocated to the CVC unit, though. Then, over in Asia, we've seen MFEC has established a $20 million investment arm. The software company has set aside $20 million to invest in startups and will move some of its human resources staff to manage the new corporate venturing subsidiary. Also in that neck of the woods, we've seen Corey, which provides business management software for entertainment companies and sports franchises, has formed a strategic investment arm and closed its first deal. And this is a tricky one. Is it a fund or a non-binding commitment? The Mobile World Congress, which has been happening past week in Spain, might have been making headlines because of Nokia's iconic 3310 handset being resurrected. But Facebook is certain to also draw attention with the launch of a $170 million investment collaboration through its telecoms infrastructure project that will target startups operating in that belly telecom sector. Fund counts, it's not really a fund. It looks like it should be a fund, but it's not. It's a non-binding commitment, according to the PR officers behind it. Counts a vast range of LPs, or potential partners, if we term it that way. Most interesting will arguably be Oxford Sciences Innovation University Venture Fund of Oxford University, Touchstone Innovations, a commercialisation firm spun out of Imperial College, and the commercialisation firm IP Group. And just in case the collaboration doesn't yield enough opportunities for Facebook, social media companies also partner BT to open two accelerators in the UK. University Corner. On the university front of fund launches, there's an interesting interview with Alice Lee from Cornell University, conducted by Nicola Institute of Ventures Community Director Vladi Dvoris, who interviews Alice, the Executive Director of the Centre for Technology Licensing at Cornell. So do pop along and read that story. It's a great piece of interview work by Vladi and great insights from Alice. Also on Global University Venturing, we've got Virginia Tech and Carillion has launched a $50 million fund. The university is partnered with healthcare provider Carillion Clinic to establish a $50 million fund focused on the local area. In the government side, big deal analysis by Thierry Hellis on Global Government Venturing was the British Business Bank has launched a $500 million fund called the Northern Powerhouse Investment Fund, which was first announced by then-Chancellor George Osborne in 2015. And it secured $230 million from the European Investment Bank. And part of that money for the Northern Powerhouse Fund has been allocated to VC firm Mercia, which will manage a total of $135 million in equity and debt management or mandates. And it'll be interesting to see where Mercia puts that money up in the north of the UK. Over the pond in Canada, VanEdge has attracted the support of a number of regulatory bodies and state bodies, including BDC Capital and Export Development Canada, for its new $122 million fund. And Hatteras is managing a $60 million fund in North Carolina, in which the North Carolina state has awarded a mandate to Hatteras. And it's an interesting program, so definitely read those news on that side of things. On the exit front, part of the reason people always like committing to new venture funds is and hope that they will at least get their money back. And so it's interesting to see the sort of resurgence in some of the IPO market and flotations on the stock exchanges. It's been a quiet year, but the first tech IPO in the US was the long-awaited initial public offering of Snap, the parent company of a glasses maker and also an instant messaging service called Snapchat, which priced 200 million shares at $17 a piece, which resulted in a $3.4 billion windfall. Both flotation values the Snapchat developer at $24 billion, a jaw-dropping 60 times revenues, but that wasn't the end of it. In the aftermarket, the stock price increased another 44%, so I'm not sure what the multiple of revenue is now, but it's nearly probably three figures, I would say, which is a pretty punchy number. And while it's not unusual for a company to go public before making a profit, well, it is fairly unusual currently, it is nevertheless noteworthy that Snap's losses have been increasing. They were up 38% last year, and the company has been fairly vague about how it tends to make a profit. Now, adding to the struggles that Facebook is trying to steal Snap's thunder by copying a vast range of its features into its own suite of apps, WhatsApp, Instagram, and Messenger. And what's also interesting is that despite this eye-watering multiple being paid for Snap, actually, they've been attracting strategic investors. NBC Universal committed, I think, $500 million at the IPO to take a relatively small stake of non-voting shares in Snap. So I'm not quite sure what that makes for NBC Universal. They have had some success dealing with new media companies such as Fox in a similar way, trying to take large stakes and work with them as collaborations, and they've been working. But that certainly is a eye-watering time to come into it. It's usually cheaper to come into these companies in the private market. Still, we shall see how they get on. And if Snap performs anything like Facebook's own sort of success since its IPO, or certainly over the longer term since its IPO, then NBC will be patting itself on the back. Now, another IPO in the past week was Alteryx, a data analytics provider that counts Thomson Reuters and Sapphire Ventures amongst its shareholders. A company which last raised $85 million in the Series C round in 2015, is targeting $75 million in its IPO, with a flotation on the New York Stock Exchange, and which also Snap IPO'd apparently. But it's yet to decide pricing for its shares. In Finland, Next Games stands to be the country's first games developer to complete a IPO if it goes ahead with plans to list on the Nasdaq First North Finland Stock Exchange. Not one that's come across my radar particularly before, but obviously Nasdaq is a very well-regarded US stock exchange, so a First North Finland is probably an offshoot. Company is seeking $31.7 million in proceeds, and its shareholders include IDG Ventures and IDG Capital. Both vehicles are part of IDG, International Data Group, in which IDG Capital is trying to buy out. Craggy. So other investors are AMC Networks and Lionsgate, which supplied $60 million in funding since inception in 2013. Another IPO with Ecovax Robotics, a China-based vacuum and household robotics producer, filing for a flotation on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. So Snap might be the one that's got away, but there's no shortage of others which seem to be lining up. And the transaction for Ecovax will provide an exit to IDG Capital again, which owns 9.12% of the company. But that exit's not going to be for a while. There are apparently 800 companies ahead of Ecovax in the queue to list on the Shanghai Stock Exchange. Cranky. Other exits on the M&A front, we cash coming a bit sooner, it seems. Mozilla helps itself to Pocket. The acquisition provides an exit to shareholders including Axel Springer, Digital Garage and Alphabet. And Yelp has acquired its portfolio company, NoWait, in a $40 million acquisition for the restaurant Bookit app that it backed last August. So, interesting acquisition. We did some analysis back in December on the sort of past 3 years, and about a fifth of M&A trade deals go to the sort of parent of a corporate venture backer. So it seems like just looking at those two, Mozilla and NoWait, their percentage might be rising this year. On the deal front, this is where all that lovely money that's been raised for funds or being committed to new corporate venturing programs is starting to be invested in. Crikey, some of the rounds are pretty big nowadays. Our lead story last Monday was a big deal piece by reporter Kalyan Antonov, in which he looked at Ant Financial's decision to provide $200 million to KakaoPay the previous week. Now, definitely read that big deal analysis. It's very interesting insights in terms of how Ant has been using its own former spin-out and what it's been doing, how it's been working with its former parent, Alibaba, some of the deals, how they've been trying to juice its growth rates ahead of potentially its IPO later this year by doing corporate venture investments. So very good insights there from Kalyan. But even bigger, or we weren't sure whether this should be a deal, should it be an exit, what is it? But what we do know is that it's interesting, and bringing internet coverage to remote areas of the world seems a significant business opportunity. So satellite operator OneWeb is making headlines with a potential $13 billion all-stock merger with its peer Intelsat, provide a new entity that's set to attract $1.7 billion in funding from SoftBank. Salem Investor that previously led a $1.2 billion round in OneWeb in late December. So Intelsat was also an investor in that round. So is this an exit to itself? But is it a merger? Ooh, what does it mean? My head spins with this deal, but it's big. The numbers are big. The area is excited. Other investors beyond Intelsat and SoftBank include Qualcomm, Airbus, Coca-Cola, Virgin, Bharti, Total Play, and satellite services company Hughes Network Systems. So a complete diverse group interested in satellites. And this week coming, Kalyan has dived into the satellites operators and had a look at some of the funding and some of the deals. Relatively few deals over the past couple of years, but they've been big or they've been interesting. I mentioned the SoftBank Vision Fund and SoftBank selling off a majority in its SoftBank Asia Capital venture unit to Foxconn, but SoftBank has been eyeing up some other deals in terms of a hotel aggregation platform, IOU, which is booked to raise up to $500 million, somewhere between $300 and $500 million. It's in talks with SoftBank to take some of the money from its first, from this $100 billion fund which is being raised. Also, SoftBank has contributed to another fund round for Ola, which has moved forward with $330 million, but seen its valuation drop by 30% from $5 billion to $3.5 billion. But I'm not sure if it's the biggest, but it's certainly one of the biggest, and it's one of the most interesting. Back in January, Grail, the oncology diagnostics company spun out of Illumina, was reported to be seeking $1 billion for its Series B round. Fast forward to today, a couple of months, the startup has revealed it's secured $900 million, which may seem like it's missed its target, but in fact, it's only a first tranche. And Grail seeking up to an additional $900 million to take the round all the way up to $1.8 billion. So in fact, they're being too conservative, too cautious. You can't make this stuff up, can you? The cash this time comes from a whole range of corporations, including Johnson & Johnson, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Celgene, Merck, Varian, McKesson, Amazon and Tencent. And the round was co-led by J&J and Arch Venture Partners, a VC firm spun out of a university. So, crikey! Ride-sharing might be in the news for all the wrong reasons these days, as Uber is faced with scandal after scandal, but Didi Xuxing, the China-based ride-hailing service that swallowed up Uber China, remains in good spirits. The company has just backed a $450 million Series D round for Ofu, a bike-sharing app provider. Cash should go some way to keeping Ofu afloat as it fights off heavy competition from similarly funded Mobike. The obvious question is how long until the third player, Ubike, which is also backed by a corporation, also recalls a large round Ubike's banked by a couple of Chinese bike makers. But a less obvious thought is that Tencent is a big investor in Mobike, but also encouraged the merger to form Didi Xuxing and holds a big stake there. So if history is any guide, therefore, we could expect a merger of Ofu and Mobike in the next year or two, squeezing out Ubike, in which corporations Jiangsu Huajing and CVC Zhonglu Capital are invested, or snapping out to dominate the market and push up prices if they can. So, citing times on the bike hailing service as well as on the car service. And we mentioned some of the troubles that Uber have been running into. They've received a little bit of flak for how they handle, maybe if we call it personnel issues, let's term it that way. They're certainly running some flak for some of their business practices. But they're, as we describe it, Uber's continuing PR nightmare seems to be giving US competitor Lyft a bit of a lift, if I can term it that way. As Lyft is trying to raise $500 million at least, the deal will value Lyft, in which, funny enough, Tencent, I think, has had some involvement, at $6 to $7 billion, which is still a fraction of Uber's $60 to $70 billion valuation at its last count. Whether it's less or more, we don't know. But so far, Lyft has not begun to burn money on the same level as Uber, and should give Lyft some runway after it turned down an acquisition by shareholder General Motors in August last year. Now, a month ago, it's all happening. It's all happening. We reported on Paytm's e-commerce, reportedly seeking a round of $180 million to $200 million, and appears the company has now secured the upper amount, getting $177 million from Alibaba and another $23 million from Safe Partners, which I think, funnily enough, SoftBank actually had once been an initial LP in, but that's just only from memory. Anyway, Alibaba and its payment processing affiliate Ant Financial now own a majority stake in Paytm e-commerce, which was due to be rebranded Paytm Mall, but that's yet to happen. Other large rounds is CloudMinds, an AI technology developer that previously obtained a $31 million angel and seed capital from SoftBank, funny enough, has received a similarly impressive $100 million Series A round from unnamed backers. The company is working on technology that enables robots to be controlled through a cloud-based interface, doing away from the need for local processing power that would otherwise add significant weight and cost to individual units. Another $100 million round, Fosun, is in talks to contribute the $100 million to Delhivery, a logistics service provider already backed by Times Group in India. Not quite $100 million, but still pretty big. ChargePoint, which operates a network of independently managed charging stations for electric vehicles, has added $82 million to its coffers thanks to a fund round led by Daimler. BMW's corporate venturing arm, BMW iVentures, also got in on the action, as did several VC firms. Previous corporate backers, such as Exelon, Siemens, Hartford, and Toyota Tsusho, however, did not return for this latest round. So, interesting on that side of things. On the university side, just mentioned a couple of deals, but obviously do check out globalcorporateventuring.com for the dozens of other deals that Thierry and team have been writing about over the past week. And also out next week should be the March issue of Global Corporate Venturing magazine, which will be the first publication edited by Nicole Idali as features editor. So thanks, Nicole. It looks great so far. So excited to see that come out. But on the university deals, PMV diagnoses a $74 million Series B round in which Osage University Partners has taken part of. Also, we've seen UrgentNet raise $20 million in its Series C round, which is a Georgia Institute of Technology spin-out. And the round was led by Oak HCFT. On the government side, just wanted to mention that particularly caught the eye, which Omicos is treated to its $8.7 million, in which Hightech Wonder Fund, KFW, State Bank, and Ascension participate in the Series B round for the Max Delbruck Center for Molecular Medicine spin-out. So, exciting deals. We'll wait to see what this week brings, but it's certainly been a fun start to the year, and actually we've got some bit of analysis which we should spin out, but I'll be in California, actually, this week. We've got a sort of drinks event in partnership with J&J, so find out hopefully a little bit more about the Grail deal there. But looking forward to catching up with everyone now. Unfortunately, it's been slightly oversubscribed, those drinks, so hopefully it should be a fun evening. And then the week after, we've got a drinks with Sky, which is a big broadcaster over in Europe. So we're doing some drinks in London on the 13th. So hopefully looking forward to catching up with some folks there. But yeah, as ever, don't hesitate to reach out and let us know how we can help.